Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of the Daily Gold. Now Jordan, as we always do, let's talk some technicals when it comes to the precious metals, starting off with gold. Look, gold had a pretty volatile week last week. It started off very strong, then started to reverse, and the sell-off on Friday, I think, caught some people a little off guard. However, look, the sell-off didn't drop to any new lows or anything. It actually does, in a way, kind of just validate this downtrend that gold is still in, unfortunately. But what are some levels now that you are watching for gold where it could rebound from? Do you think gold could be dropping below 1800, testing out that recent low in later November of around 1770?
Hi, Corey. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible it could retest that. I mean, looking at everything, I mean, I have that as one support level, as well as 1690. So if gold's really going to get hit and there's more downside, there's a lot of confluence of resistance, a lot of things pointing to 1690, 1700. And I'd also mention the 300-day moving average, which is about at 1742 right now. That's something to keep in mind, because if you look at the bull market in the 70s and the 2000s, I mean, that the 300-day moving average provided support. You could go back and look at it. I mean, probably over 10 times. So anything that was a significant correction, but, you know, not as significant as 2008 or 75 to 76. If other than that, basically the significant corrections usually were supported by the 300-day moving average. So we have that at 1742. The recent low around 1775, 1770, whatever it is. So those are the levels that I would keep in mind. Last point on that, Corey, you know, looking at history and some of the historical corrections, at least in gold, it tends to make a low sooner rather than later within the correction. So that fact, I mean, gold made its low in November, which was the third, almost, you know, the end of November. So it was almost 4 months into the correction. When I'm looking at history, for the most part, these corrections, the ones that I've found to be comparable, you know, gold, typically the correction was about a total of 5 or 6 months. So 6 months from the beginning of August would be the beginning of February. So that's something to keep in mind, that maybe this period of weakness, maybe it won't last that much longer, but who knows? Maybe it'll last 7 months. It could last, you know, into March. But short term, Corey, the price action is not bullish, and I do think we're going to see some more selling. But, you know, how that plays out and what the next low is going to be, I'm not sure. But that is something to keep in mind, that typically you don't see like a spike low at the end of the correction. So with that point, that would lead me to say, you know, maybe we're not going to go to 1700 or 1690. Maybe we'll just retest the low, but we'll see.
Okay. But in terms of time frame too, we might be in a little bit of a more range bound trade here, maybe building up a bit of a base. Is that fair to assume?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that's something that could take, you know, more than a month or two. That's something that could take perhaps 2 or 3 months or so. I mean, I'm just speculating here because there's not enough evidence yet for me to tell you, oh, it looks like X is going to be the low and then the correction is going to be over. There's just not enough evidence yet. So I'm just speculating. But yes, it's very possible that gold could make a low over the next month or two around that late November low. And then a month or two after that, it might base. The reason it might base is there is a lot of technical damage from the big reversal last week. I mean, that's a nasty candle on the weekly chart, and it's probably going to look, I know we're really early in the month, but it's probably going to look bearish on the monthly chart as well. So this isn't just a correction where gold's going to rally right back to 1960. it's going to take some time. And so, yes, that would raise the chance of there being some basing here.
Okay. One quick comment on silver, too. And we're going to relate this back to gold in probably the next question. But one thing I've noticed for silver, at least over the last, say, week or two, is silver seems to be trading more hand-in-hand with base metals. When we see something like copper down on a day, I've seen silver correcting. And then when we've seen copper up, then silver's been moving up. Is this significant in any sense to understand or see that silver is trading more right now as a base metal than a precious metal?
Well, I think it goes back to a couple things. Okay, first of all, if we look at the fundamentals of silver, I like to say it's about 50% inflation expectations and 50% negative real rates like you have with gold. And if we go back to, you know, just several months, Corey, and we kind of saw a reminder of this, I should say, last week, that what's been happening is inflation expectations have been rising, capital's been going out of the dollar, it's been going into emerging markets, commodities, but at the same time, you've had long-term bond yields have moved higher, and so that's been more negative for gold because we're seeing, and I'm getting off track here for a moment, because we're seeing an unwinding in that, you know, bonds and gold trade together. So therefore, silver has been less affected by that trade. So in other words, you know, the fundamentals for silver have kind of been really bullish for half of it, and then the other half, along with gold, you know, kind of neutral to bearish. So silver has been doing relatively a lot, you know, relatively a lot better than gold. However, I think if you look at the charts of the base metals, those have still been, and correct me if I'm wrong, those have still been doing a lot better than silver. So yes, the base metals have been helping silver hold up a lot better than gold. But, you know, we'll have to see, Corey, if you look at the gold silver ratio, it may have put in a double bottom in the last week or so around 70, 71. So that's something to keep an eye on. And also, you know, this is another thing. So let's factor in the dollar. You know, the dollar has put in a little bit of a low. You know, if it can sustain a rebound and we get a bit of a dollar rally and we get a sell-off of the stock market, that's a scenario where silver would start underperforming gold again. Again, I'm not predicting that. I'm just pointing it out as that, you know, this is something as a potential scenario.
Okay. Yeah, and the way the U.S. dollar is trading, it's kind of in a sloppy pattern, but it has bounced off that early in the year lows of sub 90. But again, it's not exactly screaming higher. It's kind of fighting with that 90 level right now. When it comes to gold, then, what other markets are you watching as a barometer for gold or some sort of correlations towards gold? Because it's definitely not, or at least I'm not seeing the dollar and gold trade in any sort of inverse correlation right now. It's more of a mixed bag on that front.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably early to answer that question, Corey, but I would say, you know, here's what we should be watching. Yes, let's watch the dollar and see if the dollar is able to sustain this fledgling rebound. That's something I would watch to see if gold would hold up a lot better than everything else, which I think it would. And also just the ratios, Corey, looking at gold against the stock market, gold stocks against the stock market. In real terms, since we peaked in August, I mean, precious metals have badly underperformed everything else. And so that's something that if they're going to continue to correct, one thing you can look at to help you figure out if the correction might be coming to an end soon and then you could see a big rebound is if you start to see in real terms precious metals start to strengthen at the end of that correction. So that's something I'm keeping an eye on. Again, it's a bit too early right now to forecast anything on that front or say there's any new correlations happening. But that's how I would look at it. Look at the relative strength. Also look at the dollar. Those are the things that I'll be watching.
Okay, let's drive down to the stock, starting off with the ETFs, GDX and GDXJ. Those continue to look quite weak, actually. Even the recent bounce for GDX and GDXJ, GDXJ looks better, but GDX continues to underperform. I'm looking at a weekly chart here, and really that last bounce in GDX is nothing to write home about, and it reversed very, very quickly. Kind of goes hand in hand with the conversation I had yesterday with one of our good friends, Dave Erfley, who was mentioning some of these majors charts that are continuing to sell off. They're just not looking strong right now. What are you taking away from the action and, let's say, the majors first and foremost, GDX?
Yeah, that's interesting. Some of the majors charts do not look that great, but on the other hand, that could mean they're closer to a bottom. Looking at GDX, it's not particularly strong. I mean, the rebound wasn't that great. We touched on it a week ago. It was lagging everything. Looking at GDX, you know, one support level that I'm looking at is the 400-day exponential moving average. Because if you go back and you look at corrections during the bull market years of the 2000s, more than a handful of times there were bottoms at the 400-day exponential moving average. Now, I don't have that in front of me, but I think it's somewhere around 32 for GDX. So GDX is trading at about 36 right now. So that's about 10%, maybe a tiny bit more. I could definitely see some more selling in the in GDX and the majors. But something to keep in mind, Corey, I mean, this is a correction that started at the beginning of August. So we're, you know, aside from the rebound we had, we are a full five months into it. And capital has already flowed out of the sector to a good degree. I mean, a lot of the negatives that we've been talking about, those have already been discounted. So it's, you know, how much selling pressure is really left in this sector? I'm not that sure. There could be a little bit more, there could be some more, but it's just important to keep that in mind, because if we see a little bit more selling, we see more weakness, we come down to really strong support levels, and then you factor that in with people talking about, oh, well, gold's done, the bull market's over, we got to buy something else, you know, these look terrible. You know, that's the setup for a good buying opportunity and the next low and sustainable rebound.
So would you say right now sentiment, it's not at that kind of washout level where people are giving up on the sector, but it is definitely at a level where a lot of people just aren't paying that much attention. They're distracted by almost every other market that has outperformed.
Yes, I would agree with you. And I'm not sure, it'd be great to get it like a washout, but I'm not sure, again, I'm not predicting, but there could also be the scenario where maybe the miners don't go 10% lower, they go 5 or 6% lower, and everybody's kind of waiting for a washout, and then it just doesn't happen, and there's some good news, and everything pops, and people are bullish again. I mean, that's how sometimes a bottom can happen. But yes, I would agree with your characterization.
Okay, well, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for this quick little update on some of the technical factors that you're watching for the precious metals. Look, the precious metals are still in a bit of a corrective state, but when you take into context the last couple of years of trading, the market's still looking good, and we still have some stocks, the juniors and even some of the larger stocks, completely outperforming. So it's not as though everyone has just shunned this sector, but kind of understandably so. They're distracted by other sectors that are running. They're making more money in other sectors, and that, unfortunately, draws more eyes away from the sector. Jordan, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you next week.